Welcome to the My House Podcast, a show about the past, present, and future goings-on at the My House Youth Drop-In Center in Wasilla, Alaska, with your host, Michelle Overstreet.
Hi, welcome to episode 68 of the My House Podcast. I'm here with Rabbi Mendy Greenberg. I'm so excited, and we are talking with Rabbi Simon Jacobson, who is the author of a book that we're going to be reviewing on Monday. The book is called Toward a Meaningful Life, The Wisdom of the Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson. And Simon Jacobson is the author, if you're looking for it on Amazon or wherever you buy books. This is a delightful read. It's encouraging. It's adaptive to today's culture while still incorporating all of this age-old wisdom that I just love. I just started out and I didn't give you a chance to say hello, Rabbi. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me. And I'll start with our custom that we always do whenever we do podcasts together, to start with a act of kindness, and I'll give this dollar into the charity box.
Oh, good. I already put my dollar in.
Yeah, that's hers right there.
Isaac loaned me a dollar, and I have to admit that Isaac was covering me today.
Okay, to follow your custom, I'll put a dollar in a charity box here too as well.
Oh, that's beautiful. Thank you. I love that. I think we have at least one full charity box to go with the rabbi today when he leaves. So it's working.
Okay. So let's take it away.
So thank you for having me, Michelle, and thank you, Rabbi Greenberg. It's an honor to be here. And
tell us what inspired you to write the book. Was it a long project that you thought about for years and then sort of it evolved into a book, or how did you get started?
I had the privilege for many years to be the main writer and publisher of Rabbi Menachem Schneerson, the Rebbe's talks.
Wow.
Keep in mind that many of his lectures and talks were delivered on the Shabbat and the holidays when they had to be memorized, because in Jewish law, on a Shabbat, we don't use tape recorders, we don't use machines, and we don't take notes. So we had to use our good old brains to retain, absorb, and memorize these teachings. And then came step two, which is to write it down, commit it to paper, and publish it. So my whole life has been steeped in these teachings. And I always recognized that their value, though the Rebbe spoke in Yiddish and spoke to a few thousand people, but their value was always clear. They were global and universal in scope, addressing the most important topics that we all struggle with: how to build better homes and families, better marriages, how to deal with pain, how to bring up children, how to deal with depression, you name it. Addressing matters of technology, responsibility, theological issues. And I always knew in my heart that these teachings deserve a wide platform. So sadly, once the Rebbe had a stroke in 1992, and basically he'd stopped speaking, so I was left without a job. Not that that was really mattered, but it then compelled me. I said, you know, this is what I was trained to do. Now the time has come to distill these thousands and thousands of pages and thousands of hours of these invaluable and indispensable teachings, to distill them into a book, which is geared toward a wider audience, a universal audience, Jews and non-Jews, to really present the Rebbe's revolutionary and transformative teachings on every aspect of life from A to Z. And so to answer your question, I always knew in my heart that it should be done. Then the opportunity came and I did it, and it was published in 1995, a year after the Rebbe's passing. And with God's help, it was successful to some extent. It hasn't reached 8 billion people, but it's reached several million. And here we are.
Wow, great story. That's an incredible journey of wisdom and knowledge. And and I do enjoy the fact that the book is written it isn't difficult to relate to. You know, I'm kind of in a place in my life where a lot of the information on grief resonates, and I found it very helpful and useful. But I also really love the chapter on miracles towards the end of the book. I think, it's encouraging and uplifting to have the fact that miracles, there are everyday miracles that occur that are, you know, that we might overlook sometimes and think that they're coincidental. And then there are the miracles that are, where God is saying, let me show you what I can do. And so I really enjoyed the entire thing. Lovely.
Dude, that's very gratifying to hear, because that's the reaction I've received from many people. And it's the best endorsement when you get someone that I didn't even know, yourself, and it's relevant to your life. So I feel like a certain satisfaction from that. The goal was fulfilled, that the book has reached people of all walks of life, empowering and inspiring. And hopefully that will in turn help you empower many other people.
I think it will. I think it's, you know, the pieces that talk about community, we've used a lot of those philosophies here, in building our drop-in center for homeless kids. It really is critical to have community engagement in your life as a whole, but also with the focus of helping others. And I thought that was refreshing. I don't read a lot about that, even though I feel like I live in that realm every day. And it was very nice to read about your suggestions for maybe someone who isn't as engaged as they would like to be. But that also was a theme throughout the book, you know, with if you're struggling with depression, go find someone to help, you know, find ways to plug into your community. And so I really enjoyed those themes and feel like there's much to be learned about that, particularly in the digital age where everybody has a tendency or maybe just opportunity to retreat into their electronics and not be as engaged community-wise as they could be.
Right. Yes.
Beautifully stated. I couldn't say it better myself. I think, no, this is what made the Rebbe so unique, really building on Torah teachings that, as you mentioned, were timeless, that go back thousands of years. The ability to take these universal truths and translate them into contemporary terms, facing basically 21st century challenges on a personal and communal and global level. And you just really beautifully stated it.
Thank you. I enjoy that. I think the Rabbi Greenberg and I have a lot of conversations in the hallway that are around these topics,
yes.
You know, that we spend 20 minutes longer than we have on our schedule to just sort of say, can you believe it? It's so awesome. And that's how I was feeling when I was reading your book. I was looking forward to visiting with you about it next week, but also talking about it today.
Yes. And this is just a preview of what's going to happen at the big event that's going to be taking place next week on Monday evening on April 27th at 5 o'clock, when Michelle will be having a fireside chat together with Rabbi Jacobson, the author of this best-selling book that reached, as Rabbi Jacobson just said, you know, millions of people all over the world and has been translated into 15 different languages. And I think that this is, as you're hearing right now, this is something that could touch really and inspire every single person and in their own level and their own things that they're dealing with. And I really think this really connects to what my house is all about as well. A lot of these teachings, and it really resonates with your goal and mission.
Yeah, it sure does. I'm constantly fascinated by the common ground that homeless youth and Jewish people have in common. Not because of poverty, but because of a history of being misunderstood, maybe, and sort of having to find ways to sort of connect and fit in. I don't feel like you have that in this community because it feels like you're connected to everyone. But I do feel like we have some real common ground on constantly being aware and tuned into how do we keep the community engaged in conversations around doing what is right, around doing what is healthy, around thinking about actively participating in our children's lives and thinking about their education. The chapter on education, you know, was very, very interesting and I think useful. I wish more people would read that and really understand the dynamics around the fact that it takes a village. You know, it doesn't just take the teachers. It takes the teachers and the parents working together. It takes a community and expectations. And it's just really a lovely way of kind of saying, if we could all work together to do these things, this would really be awesome.
Yeah.
And I like that. It's you know, the opportunity comes along maybe a few times in your lifetime where you can draw a community together and have a conversation like this.
That's right.
And so I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope people will come and join in.
And there couldn't be a better time because we are, with all our advancements in technology and science and standard of living, comforts unprecedented, there's also a deep crisis when it comes to relationships and intimacy and sanctity in our lives, values. Look at the moral confusion, the uncertainty out there. So I think it's perfect timing. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned homelessness. I was recently having a conversation with a person who has many homes. And he grew up in wealth, a lot of wealth. And he told me, I feel homeless. I have many homes, but I don't feel at home anywhere.
Wow.
Because
wow.
I don't know why I'm here in this world. Because I don't know what my purpose and mission is. So you can have a home and also be homeless. So
oh, that's so interesting.
Yeah, so it's important to realize that you can sometimes have all the material successes in your life, but like I write in the book from the Rebbe, that if you don't feed your soul as much as you feed your body, if you don't feed your spirit as much as you feed your material life, you will never be really happy.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. I said at our, just now we celebrated the holiday of Passover, and we had 65 guests for the Passover Seder. So I said over a teaching that I actually heard from the Rebbe on his birthday in 1976. It was just a few days after the famous wealthy man Howard Hughes passed away.
Right.
And the Rebbe spoke about, Rebbe Jacobson was there, and he probably could repeat it better, but the Rebbe basically spoke about how that Howard Hughes was, you know, a billionaire, and he ended up dying. And I searched more details, more than what the Rebbe spoke about. He was malnourished. He was skinny. He had long hair. His nails were outgrown. His teeth were black. Terrible. He basically
a recluse. Yeah.
Yeah. And he basically his entire life he was afraid of everybody. He thought someone's gonna out to kill him. He was paranoid. He basically had no life. And you know, you ask somebody, could it be a billionaire that will be a slave? You know, and you know, you have money, especially if you're a billionaire. How could that be the best life in the world? And yet, he was the greatest slave. So slavery, being free and really being having a home, is not about, as the rabbi just said, is not about necessarily about resources, physical resources, but it's about nourishing the soul.
I love the way that you weave that in the different chapters of the book. It's so easy to read, and it isn't preachy or it isn't overbearing. But it that underlying theme is constantly there. That's a real platform for not only all the topics, but for conversations that you could have with people that are productive and positive and encouraging around those different areas. You're talking about God. You're including God in the discussion, but without talking God. And I don't know if I'm not articulating that well, but it's easy to read and it's easy to absorb. And I think it could be helpful for a lot of people for those reasons.
Well, one of the cornerstones that I learned from the Rebbe's methodology, which I tried to capture in the book, Toward a Meaningful Life, was on one hand, the Rebbe had very high standards, but it was never presented in a dogmatic fashion, an imposing fashion. It was always presented in a way, it was like listening to music, and now you want to sing the song. So in a way, in a sense, it made it even more demanding upon you, but not by demand, but by resonating and just feeling I want to be part of really soaring, spreading my wings. That was one of the beautiful, I think, the ultimate sign of a true soul doctor, if you wish, or a true spiritual mentor, is they are not wishy-washy or ambiguous about what is expected, but it's presented in a way that you want it, not because you have to do it, but because you want to do it in a very loving and resonating fashion, like I said, like music.
Yeah, I think you nailed it. It makes you want to be a better person. It makes you want to pursue some of those concepts and ideals, and not because of fear, but because of a desire to be better.
Absolutely. It makes you feel, look, like some people would say that in the presence of the Rebbe, the way he saw what you could be, not just what you are.
Right.
You know, so it empowers you to feel of, oh, wow, I have such potential. And how great it would be if I can really actualize that potential. That was the sense.
You know, it's actually, it reminds me, Rabbi, that last year, I think it was in April time or March, when I met Michelle for the first time. And it was just a few months after you lost your husband. Mm-hmm. And I gave you I actually invited you to the book signing we did last year.
Yes.
On the book Letters for Life, from Letters from the Rebbe about emotional health and wellness. And Michelle read the book, and then we spoke about making a podcast about the book. And Michelle, you chose the name to call it the Liberating Effect.
Yeah.
Because she felt that same concept that, you know, that you the Rebbe's teachings kind of feel that that liberated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
well, I'm sorry to hear. I didn't realize that, but I hope you're growing through this loss.
I am healing. I keep saying I am healing. It's a journey that I would never have imagined at my age. I thought I had a long time before I would have to be on a path of this kind, It's some days it's really hard work, and other days I feel like, okay, all right, I got this, you know, which they tell me is normal. So I'm normal. But I do enjoy reading. I enjoy reading. I think the book Toward a Meaningful Life has a lot of information in it that is supportive and encouraging, and that gives you opportunities to think about things differently. And there's so much rich conversation around, I want to use the word the dimension that we're living in and the energy. I actually took pictures of some of the pages and sent them to my 20-year-old daughter, because there were things in there that she and I had conversations about. And I took a picture and said, I'm reading this book by this rabbi, And look at what it says in here about what we just talked about.
Wow.
And so I really love to have books like that spark conversations, or that God puts with us to help us to not just get the messages that he has for us in the stage of life that we're at, but also that help us to share that information. And that's part of what's fun about the book signing and the gathering people up and,
yes,
and talking about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way.
You remind me of a story, Michelle. I remember I was in South Africa a few years after the book was published. I went there to do some book signing in Johannesburg and in Cape Town. So in Johannesburg, I was introduced to the CEO of Nissan Motors in South Africa.
Wow.
You know, a big Afrikaans guy, real tough-looking individual. And I was told that he wants to see me because he had read the book, and he wanted to see me privately. So we were sitting in his big office, and he stood up, and he comes over to me and says, I'd like to give you a hug. And he gives me a hug, and he tells me, let me share with you a very personal experience. Last year, I lost my son, 19-year-old boy, to an aneurysm. And he was a golden soul, like a golden angel, he called him. And he died in my arms. Wow. And my whole life was destroyed. I was devastated. Because this was my only son. And my whole life, what is it worth? The business, the company, the success, if I don't have my son. And I could not bring myself to go back to work. I finally came back to work 3-4 months later. And one of the accountants at my firm came over to me and gave me some documents, financial documents. But in it, he also stuck a book. And he says, I apologize. I know it's not proper protocol, but I think this book will be helpful to you. And it was my book, Toward a Meaningful Life. And it was he marked the chapter on grief. I think it was the death and grieving. And he said to me, I read that chapter, and I'll tell you what happened. From that chapter, I learned to give my grief to God and get strength in return. That's why I wanted to see you, just to give you a hug, because you gave me that power. I mean, I just felt I wanted to share that based on what you're sharing with me.
Wow.
Yeah, it's possible, and it's very real. It requires some guides, you know, that you find as you go. But that is a precious gift to give somebody, and it's a powerful book that with lots of wisdom in it, and lots of perspectives for people in different stages of life and different places in life. And I'm very, very excited to meet you in person and to host you on Monday. I hope that this gives our listeners the opportunity to become curious about what we will be talking about, because there's lots of different topics in the books. I have many tabs, many little sticky notes in my book that for things that I enjoyed. And I do a quote thing on Mondays. I have a quote that's called Motivational Mondays. And so I'm always looking for quotes, and there were a number of quotes in there that I really enjoyed and felt like they were relevant. So thank you for joining us. Thank you for being with us. And I look forward to seeing you on Monday.
Yes. And I look forward to this event. And we're doing this in partnership actually with many local organizations in town, which I think it shows, you know, its relevance, and that this is really a community event. So everyone should feel welcome and to come. There's going to be a delicious dinner as well. It's a free event for the public. There's also going to be a children's program simultaneously. So if you have kids and you want to keep them busy, we will Thrive Matsu will be having their staff there with their toys and their different things to keep the kids entertained. So this is really going to be a real beautiful community event for the entire valley, and also for Anchorage as well. People are going to be coming from Anchorage for this evening. So everyone is welcome. Please join us. There's going to be question and answers after, and you'll also have a chance to speak with Rabbi Jacobson for a short moment to get your book signed. We're going to have books. You could buy the book, get the book signed by the author, and have maybe a few short moments, depending on how much time Rabbi Jacobson has with us. Please come. Join us Monday, April 27th at 5 o'clock in the Palmer Train Depot.
Yes, join us.
And I'm excited to be coming from New York, and it should be an unbelievable evening. Bring all your life questions to it.
I love it. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm grateful. I look forward to seeing you in person. Rabbi, thank you for inviting us to participate in the event. I'm so looking forward to it. And that's all the time we have for today. Thank you so much for joining the My House podcast. Isaac Smolden is our communication director. Ozzy Keener is our editor and producer. And until next time.